Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that certainly isn't going to haunt you for the rest of your life at all, it's Sif Pop. Welcome to Sif Pop Weekly, streaming live most Fridays, or available to download later in your podcast feed, unless, of course, you're a patron.
Patrons get perks!
Patrons get those perks.
Woo!
I'm your host, Aaron Dicer, and he's been spending a lot of time recently building Paintball Island in his mind. It's Andrew Ormsby, ladies and gentlemen.
If you only knew. Ahoy!
Each week we will chat about movies, TV, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. And minds are on our minds this week. We'll be talking about...
Yeah, they are.
Inside Out 2 and Am I Okay, which... surprisingly is a lot like Inside Out 2.
I was gonna say it, Am I Okay felt, not to get into the review this early, but it felt like the third sequel in
yes
we just didn't get to see the interior dialogue of our main protagonist.
I genuinely feel like Am I Okay could be Inside Out 4 or 5, you know, just kind of depending on how many years we jump ahead each time. But anyhow, we're going to talk about those movies and go further into other movies that have emotions in the title in our best ever challenge. Before we get to any of that, how are you, Mr. Ormsby? How's life? How's stuff?
It's hot. It's hot outside. We always like to do a quick weather update for the Ozarks for all of our listeners. It's hot right now.
Yeah.
I went out to get the mail and I came back and I was just drenched.
It's just like walking out into like some sort of curtain of moisture. It's no fun right now. I was recently, as mentioned last time, in Vegas for the World Series of Poker and to see a couple shows and that kind of stuff.
So you know real heat.
Well, it's interesting. When we left, it was 104, 105, something like that. I mean, ridiculously hot. I'd take it every day over 85 with this kind of humidity,
like the dry heat.
Yeah, it's such a different feeling. Now it's a lot more dangerous because you don't realize how quickly you're dehydrating because there's no water in the air. So you don't sweat as easily. But you just lose moisture straight from your skin. It's a different kind of exposure kind of risk. But as far as like the feeling of it, I'll take that every day.
Yeah. I'm going to be reffing a paintball tournament tomorrow, so I'm going to be full of pads and gear and everything. And
amazing.
It's going to be so hot.
Ah, yes. Well, speaking of gear and protective pads, we've got a hockey movie to talk about. Didn't realize it was a hockey movie before I went to see it. But let's have a little conversation about Inside Out 2.
Hello. I'm anxiety. Where can I put my stuff?
A new emotion.
Oh, I'm sorry. We wanted to make such a good first impression.
What do you mean, we?
I'm Envy.
Look at your hair. Oh, yeah, not happening.
That's on we.
On what?
It's what you would call the boredom.
What's your name, big fella?
That's embarrassment.
Welcome to headquarters, embarrassment. Oh, we're doing a fit. No. Oh, nope. Going high. Oh, you got a real sweaty palm there, buddy.
Teenager Riley's mind headquarters is undergoing a sudden demolition to make room for something entirely unexpected. New emotions! Joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust, who've long been running a successful operation by all accounts, aren't sure how to feel when anxiety shows up. Oh, and it looks like she's not alone. Inside Out 2, of course, is the long-awaited sequel by me to the original Inside Out, one of the greatest movies ever made, in my opinion. Pixar brings it to us, starring most of the original voice cast. We've got two prominent members missing. I have read different bits and pieces as to why. I think it mostly surrounds a combination of an offer so low that it was insulting and an inability to bring everybody back without paying them, you know, what they wanted. So as with most things in Hollywood, a lot of it can come down to how the business side of things work. I, however, don't begrudge anybody making the choice to do or not do whatever movie they want to do or not do for the amount they are or aren't offered. That is totally up to each individual person. We also get new voices from Maya Hawke, Ayo Edebiri, Tony Hale is replacing Bill Hader as Fear, and many others as well. What did you think, though? Andrew Ormsby, did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
Beyond loved it.
We need another category for Mr. Ormsby today.
We sure do. We sure do. I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard to find cons with this film. What about you?
I loved it. I don't think that's a surprise. It's such good, fertile soil for doing such fun, interesting work about what it means to be human, that it really is hard to mess this up. I wouldn't say beyond loved it. I still think the original is a much better film, but the original is transcendent, and this is just, you know, great, as it were, in my opinion. But I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Not a low side of loved it. I loved this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, you this movie really worked for you. So go ahead and talk a little bit about it. What are some of your thoughts on Inside Out 2?
Well, I think that I like Inside Out 2 more than the first one because I think that this one is a little bit more relatable for me, because I think whenever you look at Pixar movies, it really dictates your feeling towards their movies are dictated on when you watch them. So watching the original Inside Out 2 when I was already fully grown and everything, there was a little bit of nostalgia there, you know, and I kind of felt things to relate with. This one, however, puberty was a while ago, but still, like, the introduction of new emotions really helped make this more accessible for a wider audience, I think. And I've been looking down at my notes and I just realized that I, didn't put any of the, acting down for my, my positives.
Yeah.
And you know me, if I don't, talk about like acting as a positive, then the rest of the movie must have been really good. if I'm not harking on that, don't get me wrong. The performances were great, but I think the themes in this movie were amazing. The big one that I took away from this one is that our emotions help shape who we are, but they don't get to define who we are.
Yeah.
And I just thought that that was super powerful, because as somebody who suffers from an anxiety disorder, to not see anxiety as this malevolent force seeking to destroy, just seeing anxiety have good intentions at heart, there was a bit of revelation for me in that.
Yeah. I wondered, knowing with everything that you've gone through, and I'm sure our, you know, listeners, many of them are aware of many of the things that, that you've been through. You've talked about it openly here. It's not, you know, something that you've necessarily hidden. I wondered how much the anxiety stuff worked for you, and if it resonated with you in a way that, yes, that's kind of what it's like going on inside me, you know, when a panic attack happens or whatever might happen. Yeah,
exactly. It was interesting seeing how a panic attack comes to fruition, or, you know, gets triggered in a quote unquote healthy brain, you know, like, oh, so that's what it's like. Okay. So it's less Bo is afraid and more of this for people.
Yeah. Boy, what's the inside out version of Bo is afraid? What's going on? I think Bo is afraid is the inside out version of Bo is afraid.
Yeah, I
totally understand that. And I think that's really, really valuable way to look at it. I also, you mentioned the acting, and I think the acting's great in this. You know, Pixar is always so good at nailing like who to bring on, and you know, Lewis Black is so perfect for anger. And
oh yeah,
there's even a small spoiler emotion that comes in that I won't give away that is perfectly cast. And I just, you know, I'm really, really always impressed with how well they match their voice acting to the performances that they're trying to get. And I thought Maya Hawke's anxiety was great. I thought she was just absolutely perfect.
That's inspired casting.
Yeah, in that
so
role.
So good.
I can talk about plenty of the things I like. You mentioned usually be the primary thing I come away just falling in love with Pixar movies when they work for me are the themes. And there you touched on both of them at least a little bit that I came away from just really feeling. I did cry at this movie. That is not, you know, strange for me to cry at a Pixar movie. I will say I was going to see this with show guest Ian Whittington, who is on the show sometimes, is in town. And so we're going to go see this movie together.
Nice.
And I found out about, an hour and 40 minutes before we were leaving for the movie that he hadn't seen the first Inside Out yet. And so that just also happens to be about the runtime of the first Inside Out movie. So, you know, quickly loaded it up on Disney Plus and watched that before we left and got to the end where Riley allows sadness to bring her back to her parents and that whole thing. And I'm just like bawling, just like, you know, just like tears just flowing out of my head.
Go home from the bus station. Go home.
And so it was a reminder to, I'm really glad I watched it again, because it was just a reminder to me that that movie's just always going to work for me. It's just, it's just so integral to how I see the world. Now, what's interesting with the second one is that how you see the world and how you see yourself is kind of the primary new thing we're learning about in this universe. In other words, if emotions are the biggest part of our childhood, sense of self becomes the biggest part of what we learn as adolescents. And this movie dives into the idea of the sense of self in such a beautiful way, and very similar thematically to what the first one was talking about with seeing certain emotions as bad and trying to hide them and not let them come to the forefront. It was sadness in the original Inside Out that Joy was just like, quit touching things, sadness. You're making things worse, you know? And to find out at the end that sadness is actually a crucial part of joy, that the understanding of how sadness works is that it allows people to come to your aid. It allows you to grow. It allows you to feel the joy even stronger. There's similar things going on here with sense of self and the idea of you don't just define yourself by your best qualities. You define yourself by your entire self. And I won't spoil how the movie deals with this or relates this to you, because I think so much of the joy, forgive the pun, of these movies is in discovering how the world they lay out, the world building, relates to the metaphors. I guess they're not even technically metaphors. They're actual things that are happening in the movie about how the human mind works and how it processes things. So there's certainly all the little things like that were in Inside Out, you know, with the fun little things like where the boxes mix the facts and opinions and they're like, you know, oh no, we got our facts and opinions mixed up, and the person say, oh, that seems to happen a lot these days. You know, that like there's that kind of fun little stuff in this movie too, but there's also the really big stuff that man, I just thought all those observations were so keen and interesting and very moving. I really, really love where this movie went and where it ended and you know how it understood you know, the human processing of self, which is so, so crucial.
I want to build off of that if I can.
Yeah, go for it.
I think that the movie shows that individuals can learn to manage their emotions and make choices that align with their values and goals. This idea is crucial during adolescence at a time when the individual starts to form a more coherent sense of self, mm-hmm. like you said.
Mm-hmm.
The film portrays Riley's journey towards understanding and integrating her emotions, reinforcing that while emotions are influential, they do not have to dictate one's actions and identities completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that really is. That's the other theme that I think is central here, is the idea that in a perfect world, in a healthy mind, the emotions are the tools for the person to use, and not the other way around. That the emotions are in control of the person, but the person finds a way to access the emotions that they need at any given moment. There's certainly a give and take there. I don't think the movie is explicitly saying, you have to be in control of every single one of your emotions. Emotions will never surprise you. No, I don't think it's saying that. I think what it's saying is you grow up, you understand, if you're willing to process. That's the other thing this movie is saying. You have to be willing to process all these things. You can't bottle it up. You can't hide it away. You have to be willing to process your emotions, because that's how you learn how to access them. That's how you learn how they work in your day-to-day life and how they impact your choices and who you think, you know, how you see yourself and who you are and the things that you do. Indeed, the most tears I cried in this movie have to do with that theme. And there's a very specific moment that I won't spoil that involves, Riley making a choice that I just thought was really brilliantly conveyed. Yeah, I just think thematically, of course, it's just a home run. It just works really, really well.
I only have one con with the movie.
Sure, go for it.
And it's the biggest nitpick of all, and it's that this film makes the same mistake that the first film made. It made the mistake of focusing on several emotions while neglecting other emotions. The film even introduces new emotions, and then I think that it ignores them. Like, it doesn't build up their characters. We're just supposed to know, based off of their title, everything about them, which is fair. There's supposed to be one note characters. That's the point. I get that. But at the same time, like, it just felt like, oh, we're going to have a joke for Ennui later on. So let's make sure we have a character for, you know, boredom, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is asking the movie to do too much, if to give all of the emotional spectrum a time in the spotlight. The movies really are about joy, sadness, and anxiety. Like, that's what these movies are about. Anytime fear plays a role, or ennui, or disgust, or anger, or embarrassment, it is more of a secondary character, you know, that some observations can be made, but the movie isn't concerned with envy or ennui as far as like being a primary driver of the themes or plot. It is clearly about how hard anxiety hits during adolescence and the battle between joy and sadness in the first one as a child. So, I understand what you're saying. And
I think it was a minor nitpick. So,
yeah, it would be very difficult. But, you know, that's, again, I think that's the beauty of this universe, is you could do an anger movie. And in fact, like, if you look at like the parents, the dad has anger at the helms of his console. You know, and the mom has sadness at the helm of her console. Those things haven't been fully explored. Like, you know, the mom having sadness at the helm of her console is a very interesting thing. She seems like she understands sadness, and she understands who she is. So it doesn't seem like it's this, dark commentary on depression or anything. I think it's not that. I think it's just that she understands her emotional core in that way, and that there is a sadness that creates empathy for her as she leads. But we don't explore that, and that's okay. But we could. There could be a movie about that. I think it is certainly very understandable why we are following the emotional growth of a young female, because adolescence as a male is a completely different mind environment that I'm not even sure. I don't even know how you make that PG. Yeah, I don't even, like, it's like testosterone just affects things differently. And so, like, part of me wonders if Inside Out 3, which, yes, I hope happens. I hope they keep making these because I find them so enlightening. And probably the last thing I'll talk about is when we get there is how much I love the conversations I hear after these movies. But I want to talk about that a little bit later. But just to say, Inside Out 3, I wonder if it'll be about hormones. I wonder if it will introduce the idea of hormones. Now, there is a show called Big Mouth on Netflix that is a...
Not Pixar.
No, but a very adult version of exploring, you know, like we just talked about, the mind of an adolescent male. Like, Big Mouth goes there. And, you know, it's something that Pixar could never do or would have to do very, very differently.
But it would be an undertaking.
But I wonder if they can find a way to, because we don't really get into the hormonal aspect of things in this movie. It's still just the emotional aspect of things. You know, there is no insight as to, you know, like Riley getting her period or, you know, anything like that where, you know, the hormones have kicked in and done those kind of things. So it's probably, if they do another teenage version, I think it would have to involve hormones and those kind of things down the road. And then you could do just about anything with the grown up, you know, version of this or mind version of this. But yeah, I think it'll be very, very interesting. I think it'll also be interesting to see how much Disney continues to play into the idea that maybe Riley is LGBTQ and possibly gender fluid. There's a huge theory out there because every mind we see, all of the emotions match the gender of the person whose mind they're in, except for Riley has both men and women emotions in her mind, unlike all the other people we see. And so people are using that as well as the rainbow shirt that she loves, those kind of things as kind of these slight indicators that we may be dealing with, you know, some kind of gender fluidity, gender issues, those kind of things. So it'll be interesting to see if Disney ever goes there or Pixar ever goes there. I personally don't think they will, but it's always interesting to kind of see those things and think about those things and wonder if they're even, you know, winking at it, as
like
it were,
intentional, you know, hints.
Yeah. If that's intentional or if that's just, you know, something that happened that way. What else? Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we hit our one last thing?
Man, if anything I would say would just be, this is great. That is great. This particular thing is great. Mm-hmm. So,
right. Like just naming like lines or moments or it's one of those kind of movies for sure. I think for me, it's going to take another couple watches, but I don't ever see this passing the first, especially I'm really glad I watched them back to back. I think that first movie is perfection. And I think the things that keep the second movie from being perfection for me are some of the things in the middle that feel a little, and I, when I say a little, I just mean a little. I don't mean, you know, extremely. A little drawn out, a little forced. There's some moments, there's some kind of mind visual puns that feel a little bit like forced in there. Some of them are great, though. What is...
Sarcasm.
Yeah. We could talk about the sarcasm, but I was thinking the new introduction I love the most is the idea of Imagination Land being used against Riley was really interesting to me. The idea that anxiety takes Imagination Land and, you know,
co-ops it
and puts it to work is really, really fascinating. So there's some really fascinating comments, but then ideas, but then there are others that I just felt, that's a little bit forced, and I'm not sure that really moves us along anywhere. So, you know, some of the plot stuff feels a little convenient or forced more than the first one, which honestly just feels completely natural. And I just feel like flows so well, and didn't quite feel that all the way through on this one, but man, is it good. It's really, really good. Do you have one last thing?
Mid-credit scene and a post-credit scene. Mm-hmm. You don't have to stay for the post-credit scene. Nothing revelatory, no sequel baiting or anything like that.
My one last thing, I will go ahead and talk about just how beautiful it is to come out of these movies and hear a group of 12, 13-year-old young women talking about, oh my goodness, that's me. Like, you know, because I think for so many generations, this kind of conversation, these kind of things were just things you didn't talk about. You just assumed you were the only one going through, or that you were weird, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And for this to be an avenue for young people to have conversations about their emotions, to give them, if nothing else, for children or teenagers to have a visual language of describing what's going on inside their mind, right? So I've heard parents talk about this with the Inside Out movies, that they're able to talk to their children about how they're feeling, and Inside Out becomes a way for them to be able to express their, you know, their thoughts and emotions, you know, oh, anger is at my control panel, or, you know, something like that. And I just think there's something really, really beautiful about how Pixar has kind of snuck an educational video into theaters in many ways. I mean, it's like a health class video in some ways, you know, understanding your emotions.
The best,
you know,
educational video ever made.
Ever made. Yes. So, yeah, I'm really impressed with it, and did hear a couple, you know, groups of young people just having these conversations after the movie. And it just made me really, really happy because I think it's just so important that we're able to talk to each other about what's going on inside of us without feeling like people are going to think we're weird or, a monster.
I was in the theater next to a group of kids. And when I say kids, I mean like, six, seven, eight, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff was going over their heads.
Oh, for sure. I imagine it would go over the kids' heads. This is definitely more for the Riley age, you know, that 12, 13, you know, kind of age, I think. But
I do think that's important to mention, just because there are parents out there who's like, oh, there's a new Pixar movie, let's take the kids to it. Which, don't get me wrong, the kids had fun, but if you think that the kids... there just may not be fully developed enough to fully appreciate everything that's going on here.
Right. Yeah. They'll appreciate it on, you know, a couple levels, but not on all the levels.
It's funny. They were laughing.
Yeah.
That is, we didn't talk about the humor in this movie. It's really funny.
Well, it's like you said, we could just shout out funny lines and funny moments and that kind of stuff, because it's full of them. It's really, really funny writing. But I think we talked about the stuff that we wanted to talk about. So that is Inside Out 2. In case you're curious, it does fall in my upper mid-tier Pixar, which is, you know, amazing movies. So it's certainly in that realm for me.
I would have to sit down and make that list.
And you should. How dare you not have a Pixar list?
I have a list for everything else, just so.
All right, let's move on to our second review. Let's talk a little bit about Am I Okay?
You never let anyone set you up. You don't date.
How many people have you slept with?
Too many to count.
No.
I wish I was like you. But we have the same hair, so I'm on my way.
I think you're afraid of getting close to someone for fear of rejection.
Everything is going to be fine, okay? I'm fine.
Lucy. I'm cool.
Lucy and Jane have been best friends for most of their lives and think they know everything there is to know about each other. But when Jane announces she's moving to London, Lucy reveals a long-held secret. As Jane tries to help Lucy, their friendship is thrown into chaos. Am I Okay is on Max. It is streaming, released straight to streaming, as we're seeing more and more these days. It stars Dakota Johnson as Lucy, Sonoya Mizunu as Jane. You've got some appearances in there from Sean Hayes, Tig Notaro, and a few other people you might recognize. What did you think of Am I Okay, Andrew? Did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or was just okay?
I liked it.
I figure one of us should say it's okay. It's right there in the title.
That's true.
I'll also mention that Tig Notaro directed this, was one of the directors on this, which I should have mentioned, you know, in the rundown. But Andrew, I loved this movie.
Good.
I loved it.
I get it.
Yeah, I really loved this movie. I've talked often about, for me, the movies that work the best and I get most excited for and I have such a good time watching are empathy machines. You know, stories that allow me to truly, authentically start to understand the existence of another human being who I am not, and experiences I have not had, in worlds that I, you know, haven't experienced or visited or whatever. The best of those movies offer that empathy machine in a way that allows me to connect myself to these worlds I've never been in. So it takes the idea, in this case, of female friendship, which is, I've never been in a female friendship as a male, and allows me to connect with ideas of friendship, ideas of what it means to maintain a long-term friendship, ideas of what it means to discover something new about yourself late in life, you know, and how we handle those discoveries. And I'm going to do my best not to give away like the central moment of this movie, because I think the movie handles it really, really well. And I think it's much, much better for you to enjoy this movie and let the movie give you the information it wants to give you when it wants to give it to you. And it's not something I think they promoted necessarily about the movie either. I could be wrong. I didn't, you know, see any of the promotional material. I just know it's not in the description and those kind of things. But yeah, I genuinely, genuinely was in love with everybody in this movie. I was like, I want to be friends with these people so bad. They are so funny. They are, you like, there's a chemistry, like a friend chemistry between so many of these people that I find so revelatory and interesting.
And modern.
And very modern. Yeah, it feels extremely modern in a way that a lot of movies like this don't. And I think part of that is that the movie isn't interested in being any kind of typical rom-com. It's not a rom-com at all, really. It's not interested in giving us the normal beats that we see in friend movies. You know, I guess there are some of the typical storyline beats of, you know, a third act conflict that gets resolved, and, you know, because some of the typical storytelling stuff, but it doesn't feel like it's done in a hacky or cliche way. And I just really was locked in to Dakota Johnson and Sonoya Mizunu in this. I thought they were absolutely astonishing, together as well as separately. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, not to get into cons immediately, but I am going to push back, for me personally, on the whole story beats being cliche, because they are told from a new perspective. And what people should take away from this film is that all relationships are formulated the same way. You know, having said that, though, from a storytelling standpoint, it would have been nice to have gotten something fresh and new.
So what about the story was cliche for you? Like what beats?
So, again, I'm going to try and skip around that main revelation. But friends, in the beginning of the movie, everything's perfect. There's a wrench thrown in the gears, and the friendship is tested. The friendship is broken, and then friendship is resolved.
So I kind of mentioned that, like, the third act conflict cliche and the resolution does feel like a typical story beat. However, I will say, I do think it's done a little bit differently here, in that I never felt like that. That friendship, you said, what did you say? Broken. I don't think it ever broke. And I found that interesting. Like, there was a way that these two, even when they were in conflict, loved each other as friends that I found really interesting in a little bit counter to what these kind of movies usually do. Because a lot of times these kind of movies will have things happen that are misunderstandings or, you know, these things. And then the friends just don't even want to be with each other and they're, you know, whatever. And this was like, there was a longing in this friendship, even when they were having a fight. You know what I mean? Yeah. Do you understand at least what I'm saying? Even if maybe you didn't feel the same way, like it felt like it handled it a little bit differently.
Yeah. Dang, I wish I could talk around the spoiler, but I'm not good enough. So I'll just move on and say that I understand and I actually do agree with some of what you're saying.
Yeah.
But just like when I started the movie and I saw where it was going in my head, I was like, this is how the third act's going to play out. And you know, sometimes we say this all the time, just because you call how a movie's going to go doesn't always mean that it's bad. And in this case, it wasn't bad. I like the movie. I gotta get that out there. But despite the emotional subject matter of the film, it does not always land on the emotional impacts for me. Okay. It seems to aim for, and I think that it's because the pacing of the film felt like it dragged in parts towards the end, and it didn't maintain a consistent rhythm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think we had a little bit of a different experience with that, but yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. How'd you feel about Molly Gordon?
Which one was Molly Gordon?
Cat.
Oh my gosh. That would be a friend that would be a little bit too wild to have. I don't know if I could handle hammock friend.
I think Molly Gordon is hilarious.
Don't get me wrong, she's hilarious, but like as an individual, I don't know if I could hang out with them.
She's one of my favorite parts about Theater Camp, which was one of my favorite movies of last year, and I'm enjoying seeing her in more stuff. She was great in Shiva Baby as well, in Booksmart. She just always seems to do some amazing stuff. One of the most interesting roles she's played is in The Bear. She has a very different and more subtle role in The Bear, and she's one I'm watching. I think she's really talented, and I think she's really good here as well. Do we want to talk at all about release stuff? I mean, I feel like maybe it's stuff we've said before. It's just so interesting that we live in a world now where these kind of movies that used to open wide. Like, this is a movie, you know, 5 years ago, even pre-pandemic, that would just open wide in theaters. And now it's just like studios don't think they can make money that way, I guess. And maybe they're right. I don't know. It's just weird for me just to fire up, you know, Max and have this high quality adult entertainment, you know, movie that's just there that nobody really knows about. I shouldn't say nobody, but, you know, the general public only know about it if they're surfing on the streaming service that they're watching it on.
That's true. The marketing for this film is lacking would be a very polite way to say it. Mm-hmm. There was no marketing for this movie. In fact, I think this movie was initially supposed to come out in 2022, and it got held by the production company and was just dumped on the streaming service. So... Oh. Yeah, we could have missed out on this whole experience that I really enjoyed. I think Jermaine Fowler is great in this as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I really want to talk about is Kiersey Clemons, who plays Brittany.
Yeah.
Because that dynamic between her and Dakota Johnson's character, Lucy, is fascinating to see how one person interprets what somebody says and how, you know, with the intention, you have to... How does the saying go? Please forgive me. Intention of what you say matters, but you also have to understand how people can interpret what you say.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a better way of saying that, but
no, I understand. I understand. I really found it fascinating as well. And I think the movie does a good job with almost all of its characters of remaining non-judgmental in some ways, even in that situation where it would be very easy to judge one of those people for the choices that they're making. the movie does do a good job of going, no, I think this is a difference in perspective. It's a difference in understanding. Yes. It's not a malevolent choice that's being made here. It is just that this situation was perceived differently by two people. And that to me feels more authentic to the real world than how we often see in movies where there's a hero and a villain in every scene and any kind of conflict is created because somebody's being a jerk and the other person is the good person. You know what I mean? Like, that's an interesting thing. Now, you can come away liking or disliking these characters for different reasons, but that's different than like a moral kind of intention judgment in the movie.
Yeah, there's no villainous intent.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be, at least. I don't think the movie indicates that in an explicit way, for sure.
No, not at all. I totally agree.
Yeah, I think I will reemphasize one thing. This can be my one last thing. I will reemphasize how sharp I think this writing is. I really, really enjoyed so much of the dialogue in this. I thought there were some really funny lines. I was really, really impressed. And I was trying to look up who wrote it. It's Lauren Pomerantz. And I wasn't able to go deep enough to see if there's anything else that she has done.
She used to write on SNL and for the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Okay. I'm impressed. I'm super impressed with this script. And
I think she also was one of the writers on Community.
That would track. She's really, really funny, and I hope she writes more stuff.
Because
I really, really loved the dialogue in this. Do you have one last thing?
Yeah. Besides no post credit scene, I want to add on to the writing of this film because of one particular line and it was a character calling another character. And as they were calling, they just kept saying, please don't pick up. Please don't pick up. Yeah, and I'm like, that is so real. That is scarily real. You're the one calling, yet you're begging them not to pick up just so you can feel like you've done your moral deed for the day. Like, I put forth an effort, but you really don't want to.
Yeah, there's just such a human understanding of that stuff, too. There's a moment with, and other movies have done this, I've just never felt it this strongly when a movie did it, but where there are texts written and deleted, and there's a back-to-back that happens in this movie with that, that really hit me. Just really hit me. Like, I was, like, internally longing for something to happen, and it was emotional. It was a little bit emotional, when that was going on. So, I think this movie's really well done. I think it's well-written, I think it's well-directed, and I think it's well-acted, and worth your time, for sure.
I'd like to see this one again, probably.
Yeah. Well, good news. You can just open up Max and watch it again if you want. You don't even have to leave the house.
The only problem is I got so much stuff to watch.
I wonder if we should check in on the box. Do we know how Inside Out 2 is doing this weekend?
We have the technology. Give me 2 seconds.
I mean, usually they don't have like the official. I only do this, you know, we're in the Summer Sum Game, which, by the way, you can check the results of the Summer Sum Game out as they continue to happen at the SifPop website, sifpop.com. Just click on Summer Sum Game, and it'll take you to the results as they are happening. But they usually don't have the box office out until like Saturday night. They'll have some tracking and stuff, but they can't really. Inside Out 2 excites Thursday with best year-to-date previews of 13 million just on the Thursday previews.
Nice.
So that's the most of any movie this year, and that's exciting for me. Pixar's Inside Out now eyeing $90 million opening.
That would put it in third.
After one weekend.
After one weekend.
So nice.
It's funny looking at the box office results right now because in ninth place is Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. I don't know if I can, you know, I doubt that's going to be on there, but I just find that really funny.
That's awesome. All right. Well, there you go. A little bit of conversation about Am I Okay? Before we head into our Best Ever Challenge, thank you to our SifPop members. We really do appreciate you. If you want to check out what it's all about, go to the Patreon, patreon.com/SifPop. It starts at $3 a month. Some fun stuff going on there. So check all that out at patreon.com/SifPop.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
All right, best ever challenge this week. Best ever emotion movies. These are movies with an emotion word in the title. Nice little flexible category. You can squeeze some movies into this. Let's go number five to number one. And of course, if you have it higher,
Trump!
Then you can trump it and we will talk about it when it is at its highest. I'll go first. My number five is Happy Death Day.
Me too.
Yay! Amazing. That is actually kind of amazing. There's so many different movies you could squeeze into this category.
Yeah, really. Go ahead.
No, it's great. It's really fun. I really enjoy it. I've enjoyed the sequels as well, but I think the first has the best energy. Of course, so much of this has to do with the central performance in Happy Death Day.
Jessica Roth.
Yeah, Jessica Roth is so good in this movie. It's fun. It's fun. It's quirky. It's good. And it's got a central character you just want to hang out with. So if you've haven't seen Happy Death Day, the Happy Death Day movies, go check them out, and all of us together can hope for more sequels down the road.
Yeah, because I think Christopher Landon, the guy who did this, didn't he also do the movie with Vince Vaughn? Freaky.
Yeah, Freaky. Yep.
Yeah, that guy has a good track record of taking cliche, tropey horror films and putting a fun twist on them.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed Happy Death Day. And like you said, just, is it Roth or Roth? I can't remember.
I think it's Roth.
Okay. There's an E at the end, so you there never is. Know. But
Roth,
she...
Rothay.
Rothay, yeah. yeah, she steals the show in this, and deservedly so. She needs to be getting more work, because if she's putting out that kind of effort, yeah. I want to see her in more stuff.
Yeah, she's great.
What's your number four?
My number four is a very recent movie. My number four is Mad Max Furiosa. I loved this one more than Fury Road even. So yeah, it comes in at my number four. And if you want to know more of my thoughts on it, well, just rewind a couple weeks.
Oh, good call.
So what's my number four?
I'm going to go with a movie starring Tandy Newton, Jaden Smith, and Will Smith, that is Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah, in my honorable mentions.
Yeah. This might be my favorite Will Smith performance that I can think. King Richard was really good, don't get me wrong, but there was something that felt genuine and authentic about this performance, about a man who's doing everything he can to provide.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's well worth a watch if you haven't checked it out. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
On to our number threes.
Let's do it. What you got?
Star Trek to the Wrath of Khan.
Nice.
I don't know that I've really talked much about Wrath of Khan on this show, But it is my favorite of the Star Trek movies, of the original cast movies. Mm. And a lot of that has to do with where it came in my life. You know, I was a kid and we had a VHS and we used to watch it over and over again. And I always got freaked out by those earbugs and thought Ricardo Montalban was, you know, insane. And yeah, I just really... love the beats of this movie and have a good time while watching it. So it's high on my list. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Very nice. Very
what nice. Is your number three?
I'm going to go with some good old Stephen King. I'm going to go with Misery.
Good choice.
Yeah. Kathy Bates, James Caan. It's a Rob Reiner film, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The hobbling scene. That's all I got to say. Never again do I want to see that.
No.
Oh, gosh. But this movie is so good. The performances are out of this world.
Yeah, it really is. That's a good one. All right, on to our number twos.
Yep, what you got?
Might get trumped. Not sure. I have 12 Angry Men at number two.
Trump!
I know you're number one. What's your number two, Andrew?
Well, I know this is not your number one because you already said that you like Furiosa more. Yes. I'm going to go with Mad Max Fury Road.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's great. I love the car action in this movie. The practical effects are insane. And it's, if you really think about it, it's about a man trying to find redemption. For all of his past indiscretions and failures. But I don't begrudge anybody saying that Furiosa is better because it is such a good movie.
I thought so. I thought it was really, really good. All right. My number one is a bit of a stretch, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure if passion is an emotion or not. But I'm counting it for my number one, The Passion of the Christ.
Good call. I'd accept it.
Yeah, I've talked about how much this movie means to me in the past. I won't bore you again with all the details. But when something touches on the defining belief system of your life, and tries to do so in a new and authentic way, it's bound to have an impact. And as much as my thoughts and views and all those kind of things continue to evolve and grow as I go through my life, my faith is still my faith, and this movie is still very, very meaningful to me. Passion of the Christ is my number one.
That's Andrew, how I feel about the Pop-Tart movie.
There you go. I totally get it. I totally get it. It makes complete sense. Seinfeld is an incredible religion.
Yes.
Andrew, what is your 12 Angry Men? I mean, what is your number one?
My number one is 12 Angry Men. Hey! Oh, big surprise.
Look at that.
Yeah. I just talked about this last week, I think, so I don't know what else I can add to it. Just perfect casting, really. Everybody knew the role that they needed to play. Nobody's fighting for the spotlight in this. I would actually really like to see a modern stage portrayal of this. I think that would be really good.
Yeah, that'd be worth the trip to New York if they did a modern 12 Angry Men. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they would maybe have to change the title. I'm guessing they wouldn't cast all men. I'm guessing it would be, I mean, you wouldn't have an all-man jury anymore.
I don't think you can.
I don't know. Are there rules on jury composition like that? I don't know. I just think it would naturally happen with the process. But anyhow, so they may have to change the title a little bit. But I would love to see, you know, one of those pure courtroom deliberation.
It's a courtroom drama, and that's all you need to know for me to love it.
Yeah.
Even though technically I would say about 15 to 20 seconds of this movie takes place in a courtroom, the rest of it doesn't.
Yeah, it's technically in the jury room.
It's just in the jury room, but no, it's my number one and I absolutely love it.
What did the amazing writers over at SifPop.com have to say?
So I kind of dropped the ball this week and I didn't post. I didn't drop, but I did get some. So coming in at number three, we have a tie between the original Mad Max and Fury Road.
Okay.
Coming in number two, we have Wrath of Khan. I mean, 12 Angry Men. And then at number one, we have Wrath of Khan.
Well, there you go. We mentioned those. Any other movies you want to mention that fit this category?
Another George Miller movie, Happy Feet.
Happy Feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The only other one I think I would mention is Triangle of Sadness, which I think is worth a watch, for sure.
If it wasn't for that 10 minutes of vomiting, I think I would agree with you.
Hey, that's if a you're lot in the mood vomit. For 10 minutes of people throwing up, have I got a movie for you.
It is out there, and I actually do enjoy the movie, so I don't begrudge that that pick at all. But yeah, that's the only thing I think about that movie whenever somebody mentions it.
All right, we're down to the buried treasure. What's that one thing in any area of pop culture that you want to make sure people know about it? Andrew, why don't you kick us off?
I miss good old summer blockbusters. So I went back and I put on what was one of my favorite summer blockbusters growing up. That was Brendan Fraser's The Mummy.
What'd you think?
It holds up. It still holds up. The effects are still really good. I thought that they would have aged out by now, but no. That face in the sand wall, or the sand storm that goes through, the effects on the mummy still look really good. The scarabs are terrifying. It's a good movie, man, and I love the cast. I think that Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz have just excellent chemistry together.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in a while, but I remember loving those movies, especially the first one. So I don't doubt that it holds up. And Brendan Fraser is just awesome in those movies.
Yeah. What you got?
I'm going to go with a movie from Stanley Kubrick. And it is a movie called The Killing. I think it's his first movie he ever directed, or at least one of the first. One of the first movies he directed is 1956. And is a heist movie about a heist of a race course track. And it's very interesting in that you kind of think is nonlinear storytelling is this kind of thing that was invented with Pulp Fiction. And you watch a movie like this and you go, oh, no, directors were doing nonlinear storytelling long before then. It's interesting to see Kubrick do kind of a film noir heist movie that jumps around in time and gives you the information it wants to give you and gives you the parts of the heist that it wants to give you, but lets you experience the others. It certainly bears the weight of the year of its making, you know, like it's definitely an old movie, but I found it fascinating and interesting, and would highly recommend it. It is available to watch on Hoopla, which is a public library app. So if you have a library card, you just put your card in the app and then it just opens up all these movies. One of them is The Killing. That's where I saw it. I watched it on Hoopla. I would definitely recommend that one.
You've been going back and checking out some classics recently.
I try to occasionally.
Because last week you did Rashomon and now you're doing The Killing.
That's true. Have you seen The Killing? Have you gone back and watched it?
I just put it on my list of movies to watch.
Yeah,
because it's a heist movie and it's a Kubrick movie. So you said two good food.
It had two check marks in the positive column at least. I think you'll enjoy it. Again, that's on Hoopla. And The Mummy, as far as I can tell, is on Peacock and also Apple TV Plus. It looks like it's maybe in both places.
I should have looked that up. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. If you want to check out The Mummy or just come over and I'll throw the DVD in, the Blu-ray in, the 4K.
Yeah? We'll hang out.
We'll hang out. You know, we'll order some pizza and watch The Mummy. Well, we did it, Andrew.
Woo!
We managed to conclude our podcast today while accomplishing everything that we set out to accomplish. Well, at least I hope we set out to accomplish everything that we accomplished. I hope we accomplished everything that we had set out to accomplish.
I agree with your
have I confused it enough to move on? All right, we will do so. Thank you so much for joining us today. Sif Pop is part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. You can find out more about other shows on the network by searching Studio DNA in your podcast player. Huge thanks to Andrew for hanging out today.
Thank you, buddy.
Big thanks to producer Phil for producing the audio and video show.
Thanks, Phil.
Much love and gratitude to our Sif Pop members for giving monthly to make Sif Pop a real thing. Support starts at $3 a month, and you can find out all the information on that at patreon.com/SifPop. Lots of ways to connect with podcasts. You can leave a comment, a rating, or a review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. You can also email us, feedback@sifpop.com. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie-loving friends will probably like the show too, so make sure you let them know about it, and that listening is much easier than putting on a zipper dress over your head. We will be back next week with more movies to talk about, and we will see you then.
Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.